day. I just want to go home and get in my sweats. I'm really looking forward to making some new friends. Even though this is out of my comfort zone, I'm trusting God will bring something awesome out of this party. Succeeding at the big things has a lot to do with the little things. Thoughts matter. Small things, big difference.
Good morning again. Hey, thanks again for being here with us this morning. We're excited that you would come and join us here, and I'm excited about the series because I think this is where we find ourselves so often as we talk about small things making a big difference. I think so often we see things happening in other people's lives, and we want things to our lives to be like theirs. We want to see those things happen for us, and we say, you know what? I would love for that to happen, but I don't even know where to begin. I don't know how in the world to make these big changes in my life to be able to see those big differences happen. But the reality is, and it's the truth that we found last week, is that when we look at it, that it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. Now think about that. It's the small things that need to happen in our lives in order for the big things to really happen. We all want good things to happen. We want big things to happen in our marriages. We want our marriages to be great, right? Anybody really want a bad marriage? I mean, I don't think so. You know, I talk to too many people that have them and don't want them, right? And so the reality is nobody wants one, but it's not big things that we have to do to make our marriages better. It's the small things that if we would just do those on a more consistent basis, that we'd be able to have it. It's the same that goes for our jobs. If we want our jobs to be better, it's often the little things that we need to do there that can make the biggest difference and make us the happiest and the most joyful in the midst of everything else. Doesn't mean life's always going to be perfect. Listen, we can do all the small things right, and things can still not go exactly like we want it to. But the reality is that it will go the way that it's meant to go. If we're doing the small things, the right small things, and continuing to hang in there. So that's a truth that we need to understand. It's the small things that make the big differences that everybody wants to happen. And so we need to really focus in on it. That's what this series is really, really bouncing around. And last week we started off kind of, we talked about our one word. And so just being honest in here, you know, so I know some of you weren't here last week, but a lot of you were. So the reality is, if you were here last week, I talked to you about finding your one word that would kind of drive these changes. And so how many of you took me seriously and found that one word? Just being honest. Good. Well, that's awesome. That's more than I even thought. So that's really good. So the reality is you, this week you need to get busy because you're going to get something else to do. So you need to find your word, because that word is going to then drive what we're going to talk about today and the rest of the series. So think about your word. You know, we talked about that word being maturity for our church, that we need to dig deep into our roots of our spiritual lives so that we can have a foundation to grow from, to not just be, you know, blown back and forth by everything that happens in our lives, but to be able to be grounded and know that we can dig in, and even when life doesn't go our way, that we understand that God's there with us and that we can have strength and wisdom in the midst of it. So we want to dig deep, and we want to find out what that looks like. So if you didn't get your word in this week and you were here last week, here's your word. It's procrastination, you know, and I'm the king of it. And so, you know, there's plenty of verses in the scripture about not putting stuff off, but so maybe you want to get busy on it. So we want to focus in on the thoughts today, because our word is important to find out what's going to drive us. But today, as we talk about thoughts, they're really key to us, because our thoughts drive our words that we speak, which then drives our actions, which then goes to our habits, which become really who we are and how we handle life. And so it's important to build this foundation today, starting with our thoughts. Because here's what the scripture says. Solomon said in Proverbs 23, he said, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Now think about that. As you think in your heart, that's you. That's who you are. And for some of us in the room, for a lot of us, in the room. If we're just really honest and peel back all the, you know, the church smile and the church face and all the stuff we wear when we come because we think we have to impress other people. And can I just be honest with you? God's not impressed when we try to impress other people, right? He wants us to be impressed. He wants to be impressed with us because we're just us, because we're honest with him. He knows us. But the reality is we come to church and we want to put on all of this stuff, but it's who we think in our heart that we are, that we are. And so for some of us, we're struggling with that. And it's really coming out in everything that we do. Here's the thing. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And think about it. Now, this isn't some positive thinking message, but it is going. But we are going to realize that positive thinking is something that God wants for us. That he wants our thoughts to be positive. He wants our thoughts to be focused on him and his and what he wants for us. But the reality is that our life will always move towards our strongest thoughts. If we always think negative, your life is going to go towards the negative. I promise you. Because that's where you're always going to find yourself, and you're always going to be putting yourself in that kind of position. Sorry, hair is like flying around up here. Who's shedding out here? It's somebody. I don't know. But anyway, it's like, whatever. It's crazy that we see these thoughts and we look at it and we always put ourselves in this place. So here's what we need to do. We need to think about our thoughts. We need to spend some time figuring out how our thoughts can begin to direct us in the place that God wants us to be, the way that he's created us to be, because that phrase of your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts is a reality, and we need to do it. So let's begin helping ourselves with that. And the first place I think we need to go is to a thought audit. You ever heard of a thought audit? It's just kind of taking an audit of your thoughts. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's pretty simple. I'm not smart enough to really mess this up and make it a big deal. So the reality is that we just need to think about where our thoughts are going and help us to them see and take notice and then be able to move them to where God wants them to be. So this little thought audit is pretty simple. We're going to just take our thoughts and we're going to try to pinpoint where we are so that we can take a realistic look and then be able to move forward. So the first place we start is kind of here with these polar opposites, from worried to peaceful. Now think about this past week for you. Where did you spend the most of your time thinking? Was it more towards the worried side or more towards the peaceful side? Now, were you worried about your kids, worried about your job, worried about your finances, worried about your relationships, worried about this, worried about that? You know, things are happening, bills are coming due, you know, we got to make all these things happen. You know, I said the wrong thing again, I didn't take the trash out like I was supposed to. You know, I said that dress, yeah, it does make her behind look fat, you know. I messed up, okay? And so I'm worried about where things are. Or did you spend some time thinking, you know what? Man, that stunk this week. But you know what? I know God's got it. I know that God's in control, that God's got something good for me. I know that I don't really have the money to pay my bills, but the reality is, you know, God's going to provide something so I can make something extra to be able to do it. That he's going to see me through. That I know that I can pray and that I can trust him and that I can allow him to be God in my life. You know, where did you find yourself spending the most amount of time? If you were more worried this week, then you need to be on the you know, the other side of that, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or if you were more peaceful, you need to be the 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. So in your notes on your program there, I want you to circle where you spent most of your time this week. Was it worried or was it peaceful? All right, the next part that we're going to look at is up there. It's negative or positive? Negative or positive? Did you think more negative this week or did you think more positive? Which one was it? You can find out what's wrong before you ever see what's right. Is that where you spend your time? You're way more focused on what didn't work out than what did work out. You know that your glass is half empty rather than seeing it half full. You know, where did you spend the most amount of your time? Were you critical of people? Were you assuming the worst at all times? Were you discontent with where life was? You know, some of us have the spiritual gift of negativity. I'm just saying. It just happens. You know, we wear it around all the time because we're always looking at the negative side of life. You know, man, if I was only married, I'd be happy. You get married, and it's like, if I only had kids, I'd be happy. And you get kids, and you're like, man, if I just had some other different kids, I'd be happy, you know? So it's always changing, isn't it? Always looking for something else to just make you happy rather than being content just right where you are. Man, we find the negative in everything. We find ourselves looking for what's not right versus what is right. Or do you find yourself on the positive side? There are some positive people in the world, you know, and they're kind of cool to hang out with. Some, you know, sometimes you want to choke them, but you know, they're pretty cool to hang out with because they tend to bring you up. You know, they see the positive. They see the best in people. And I love to see the, you know, when people see the best in you, it's really cool. And you walk into church, you know, it's not about, well, what's wrong. It's not about what the pastor was going to say wrong or whatever, but it's like, hey, you know, he's learning, he's growing, he's getting a little better. You know, it's about seeing good things rather than the bad. You know, even when you have a difficult day, being able to see that God did something good, he brought somebody into your life that made it better. Being able to see it for what it is and being positive. So let me just be honest with yourself. Where do you spend the most amount of your time? Is it on the negative side or is it on the positive side? Be honest with yourself and write that down. The third place that we find ourselves is, are we worldly or are we eternal? Where do we think? Do we think worldly or do we think eternity in our thinking? Are we consumed by the things of life here and now, or are we consumed with, and do we think about and spend our time focused on eternity, where we will spend forever? Are we more concerned about the car we drive, about the shirt that we buy? Will it match, you know, that scarf that I got, or will it match that new hat that I got? Whatever? You know, we focus on the things that we have. Is life more about Your what you drive and what you wear or how many likes you get on that duck face selfie, you know? Y'all didn't think that was funny. You've never seen a duck face selfie? Come on, you gotta get, I'll show you, I can show you a bunch. So you never seen the picture where the, y'all never seen one of them? Man, y'all gotta get some new friends on Facebook or something because I got a bunch of them, I'll give you some. Because I see him all the time. So y'all are like, is he thinking about me? Anyway, but you're worried about life and you're worried about here. What is life about right here? Rather than what about eternity? Thinking about the things that bring glory to God. Now, he's the one that created us. He created everything that we see. Well, why wouldn't we want to glorify him? Why wouldn't we want to honor him? Why wouldn't we want to seek him out? I mean, I get it. There's some people in the room, they're just not sure about this whole God thing. They're not sure that he even exists to begin with, much less does he even care and give a rip about who I am and where I'm at and what I'm thinking. I'll be honest with you that he is real and he does care about you and he does care about what you're thinking. And we can debate that later and we can talk about that later, but the reality is, for most of us, we know that he is here and we know that he exists, and have probably at some point even trusted him with our own, you know, life for eternity. But yet we don't spend our time focused in on who he is and what he wants for us and what he created us for. Listen, you need to understand that you were made for a purpose. That every single one of us is not here by chance. We were not here because some, you know, mud puddle got struck by lightning. We are here because there is a creator in this universe who thought enough and loved you enough to create you and want a relationship with you. And so we can't just go around wondering if it's real or not. There's too much to prove that there is. There's too much in existence. There's too good of, you know, I know there's good arguments on both sides, but the reality is I can't speak for anybody else in this room. I can speak for me that I know he's real and I know that he has changed my life absolutely. And so the reality is that we need to understand that he is true. But do we spend our time even thinking about, even for an instance, about who he is and what he wants for us? Do we even think about the people that he brings into our life? Are they there for a reason? Who do we know that we're supposed to be telling that our message to that we're not? We're so self-absorbed. Listen, that happens to all of us. We all get so self-absorbed into where we are and our problems and just wanting things and I'm there, I know. We get there. But we need to think about where we spend the most amount of time, because the reality is that we are supposed to think eternal more than worldly. And I think if the church is honest with itself, it's become way more worldly than we want to admit. That we've allowed ourselves as individuals, because listen, we are the church. The building, who cares about the building? Building can burn down, but the church is going to be the church. And we're going to have to decide, are we about the world, or are we about what God wants for us? Are we about what he created it all for? So the reality is we have to decide, are we thinking worldly or are we thinking eternal? So let me just be honest. If you're in the room right now and you have all tens on your list, the altar is now open, and you may come and you may confess your sin because you have lied. None of us are a 10 on all of that. And if you didn't circle 10s on all of that, good. This message is absolutely for you, because our thoughts determine who we become. Our lives always move towards the direction of our strongest thoughts. So if we're not thinking, peaceful, and we're not thinking, positive, and we're not thinking eternal, then listen, our lives are not going in the direction we were created to go in. And so we need to be able to change that. Listen, it's easy to go the other direction. Our culture, our world, everything that we see around us pushes us towards the worried side. It pushes us towards the negative side, and it pushes us toward the worldly side, that we got to have what we have, and we got to, it's about us. Every commercial that you see is about you. It's about making you and giving you what you want. But the reality is that is not how we are really created to be. And so we've got to be able to change that, to shift from that. Paul says this in Romans 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. I love that word, transform you. To change you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Listen, that's a promise that we have. We need to be able to hold on to that. And that needs to shape who we are and shape how we think. You will become like your greatest thoughts. So think, be honest. What did you think this week? Was it positive? Was it peaceful? Was it eternal? Or was it the opposite? We need to change the way that we think if we're going to be all that God wants us to be. Last week, the word that we came up with, that was important, because that's what's going to help drive our direction. And so that word is the direction that God's put you in. You need to spend some time this week thinking about it. What is that word for me? You know, I talked about it for us as a church. It was maturity. Talked about for me as a pastor, as a father, as who I am. It's a lead. And so you need to think about what that is for you. What word is it? How can we change the way that we think so that we go in that direction? Maybe that's your question. Well, Ron, I get it. You think I need to change how I think. So how should I do that? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about. The first part of that is this, that we need to capture destructive thoughts. If we're going to change the way that we think, we've got to capture destructive thoughts. And we probably think a lot more destructive thoughts than we want to give ourselves credit for. We're consumed with worry and negativity and worldly thoughts. And we got to learn how to capture those and be able to change those. Here's what 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5 says. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Well, that sounds encouraging, right? That there must be a difference, right? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Think about the power of those words. That they have power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We don't wage war the way the world does. And the weapons that we have aren't the kind of weapons that the world thinks of. We don't wield swords and guns and knives and all the things that the world wants to make us think about. There's more to that. And this is going to freak some of you out. And you're going to be like, what in the world? This guy is nuts. But the weapons that we fight with, they're supernatural weapons. You're like, dude, you're nuts. You've lost it. It's supernatural? What? What are you talking about? Listen, I'm not talking about the spooky, scary stuff we see at Halloween. I'm talking about the spiritual stuff that we must realize that goes on and that we have at our disposal, that the Bible is very clear that talks about. We're talking about the weapons of being able to not just, you know, you can punch somebody. You can beat the snot out of somebody. But you have not changed anything spiritual about you or them. In fact, you've taken yourself probably the opposite direction. The things that we talk about, the supernatural things that we talk about are things that are heavenly, that are spiritual in the nature that we don't hold them in our hand, we don't swing them and all of that thing. They are different. Paul says that the weapons that we have this divine power to demolish strongholds. Listen, that word power, it's the word dunamis. Dunamis is the word that we get our word dynamite from. It's a powerful word. That this has the power to demolish, to break down, to tear up, to destroy strongholds. That Greek word in there that's translated into strongholds, it means it's to be a prisoner locked up with deception. You know the old fairy tale castles that we see when, you know, the fair maiden is put into the dungeon all by, you know, and she's locked down there because she got tricked into it and all of that. Well, that's what this is talking about. It's about us being locked up because we've been deceived. It's about a level that goes on above us in the spiritual realm that where Satan and God the Father, there's a battle that goes on that is for us to keep us from being all that God wants us to be. And the reality of it is as real as you and me in this room right now. And we must be honest about it. And we must understand what the scriptures teach. And the Bible says that we are locked up in our own prisons because of the things that we think. And but the good news of that there's power in the words and in the ability to understand who God is. Help us break out of the things that we found ourselves in. Think about this. Who is our spiritual enemy? We've heard this since we were little kids. Who's the spiritual enemy of all of us? Satan, right? The devil. You know, the pointy ear, pitchfork, pointy tail little dude in the red suit, right? That's our spiritual enemy. Now, I wish if only he was that silly and goofy, right? The reality is he is real. And he is the spiritual enemy of all of us. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy us from the things that God wants for us. We were created for good things, and Satan wants us to never experience those things, but to experience quite the opposite. One of his names is the father of lies, right? So if it's important for him to be the father of lies, don't you get where it's important for us to pay attention to what we think? Because if we allow him to lie to us and get us to think what God doesn't want us to think, the opposite of what God wants us to think, then we find ourselves following him, serving him, and find ourselves in a dungeon, tricked by a lie, by deception, and we find ourselves caught there without being able to get free. Listen, that's where addiction comes in. That's where all kinds of pursuits of all kinds of worldly things come in, is that we find ourselves pursuing something else to give us what God wants us to have. We try to fill these voids in our lives with all kinds of stuff, but the reality is that that shape of that void that we have can only be filled by God himself. But Satan wants to lie to us. He wants to tell us that. And so we understand from what Paul teaches us, when this battle goes on, when the spiritual battle for us goes on, where Satan lies to us and tells us all kinds of things that are beyond what God wants for us, then we realize that we are not able to beat that by ourselves. Just in my own strength, there's no way for me to defeat that. But Paul reminds us that there is power in the things that God wants and has for us that demolish those strongholds, that demolish those lies and give us the ability to then take those lies, to take those thoughts captive and allow them to show us who Christ really is. Listen, this isn't one of those real sexy, messages. This isn't one of those, let me give you some really easy little points. This is one of those where you got to be prepared. You got to be ready, because this is real stuff and it really happens. And it's the beginning of where we go off the tracks. Got to be ready to have our thoughts and have those things taken captive and made obedient to Christ. Well, what does that mean? That means that our thoughts have to be, when we're told a lie, then we need to be able to change that up and realize that God's saying something totally different to us, and we need to allow that to change the direction that we go in. Here's what he does. He says, I can't make a difference. I'm no good. I'm a screw-up, right? Those are the things that he lies to us about, that we're not good, that we're not worthy, that we're not capable of doing the things that we're supposed to do. We're not capable of being good. We're never going to amount to anything. You ever thought some of that stuff? I think if we're honest in the room, we probably all have. And those are the lies that we're told. It's time for us to begin to play a new game, right? We've been playing this old game of hearing the lies and believing it. It's time for a new game. It's time for truth or trash. Truth or trash. We need to start playing this. We need to get serious about it. Anybody like to play a good game? Anybody? We like to play games, don't we? I mean, it's kind of cool. So think about this. Whenever you hear this, you'll never make a difference in the world. You know what? You need to stop. You need to call it out. What is that? That's trash, right? But see, you can't just say, oh, that's trash. You got to give that some attitude. That is trash. You got to come up with some attitude for that stuff. You need to let it know that it ain't true. It is, here's one. God doesn't love you. Oh, no, you didn't. That is trash. You need to call it out and tell it what it is. Don't be playing around with this stuff. Oh, you're no good. Uh-uh. I am good. And that is trash, and you need to stop it. I mean, really, have some fun with it. If he's going to lie to you and tell you some stupid stuff, you need to make him feel stupid for telling you. Tell him. It's trash. You are good. You can be good. The Bible says that though none are good, the reality is that Jesus died for us to make us good. That there is truth that we need to be able to hold on to and know that we can overcome this mess. Some of us have been believing this junk so long, and we've been calling trash truth, and we've allowed it to make up who we are to the point that now we don't know, we don't even have a bearing about what might be right or what might be wrong. It's time to realize what truth is and what trash is. Man, I can never overcome that. Oh, no, 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 no. That is trash. You need to be serious about it. If you got to go get something and punch it when you just whatever, get real about it. But the reality is that we got to stop doing this giving in to the stupid stuff. Take it captive. If I go out of here And I go to Food Line, and I steal a big, large DiGiorno pizza. All right? Can you tell I'm hungry? Anyway, so I steal it, and I go running out the door with it, right? They call the police on me, and the police come and grab me, right? And what are they going to do? They're going to tackle me. Then they're going to, like, handcuff me, and you know, they're going to put me in jail. Right? Because we did something. I did something that was wrong. But the reality of that is that we need to be able to take those thoughts that come into our head. We need to chase them down, tackle them, put them in cuffs, and throw them in the slammer and throw away the key. To be real about the fact that God says that that is not who we are. That we are worth something. That there is a truth that tells us we're good in the sense of being made right with God. We need to be able to see it for what it is. So we need to capture the wrong thoughts. Those destructive things, we need to capture them. The second thing is this. Fix your thoughts on spiritual things. Fix your thoughts on spiritual things. Focus on the eternal. See the good. Focus on spiritual things. Be real about it. It's not about, I'm not telling you to, you don't have to be a Bible thumper, right? It's not about the everything is all, you know, you talk in King James and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the reality is we need to be focused in on the right things and on the truth. Here's what Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9 says. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you. And you hear that promise at the end? I love to pull these promises out. Because he says, if I'll fix my thoughts on the positive things, on the peaceful things, and on the eternal things, then listen, God will be right in the middle of that. He's right there. He'll be with me. We need to capture the lies and focus our thoughts on what's true. Somebody told me earlier, said, hey, I think that's on my refrigerator at home. Well, then maybe you ought to hear it and listen to it because God's telling you that again. The reality is that we need to understand that we can fix our thoughts on what are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And then we can think about what's excellent and what's pure and that God, the God of peace, will be there with us. Now, which would we rather have? Would we rather have no peace? Would we rather think about dishonorable things? Would we rather think about false things? Would we rather have all the mess that comes along with thinking that way? Or would we rather have the peace that God's promised us right here? Just fix your mind on it. And can I just be honest with you? And I'm seeing it more and more, and I'm dealing with it myself so much more. But I'm just telling you, there's stuff you need to watch what you watch on TV. I'm telling you, it will change how you view the world. Now I'm not you know me. I mean I watch some crazy stuff too. You know, I mean I love, you know, Law and Order. That's one of my still all time favorite shows. And you know, the first 48. I don't know if you ever watched that. I mean It's like, why in the world would you watch that about killing and stuff? And I love the chase, and I love to watch the officers do their job and all that good stuff. But the reality is that we need to be careful because we begin to desensitize ourselves, and we begin to think on things that aren't true, and things that aren't honorable, and things that aren't pure, and then it begins to focus us in reality. We need to change the way that we think, and we can't do that doing the same old things that we always do. We need to focus ourselves on spiritual things. And it's had such an impact on my life to be able to think positively. This August, I'll celebrate 10 years in ministry. And whoever would have thought, I would have never thought that. You know, thank you for that. Would have never thought that 10 years, this is what I would be doing. I never thought when I grew up, this is what God would have for me. And, you know, that you talk about thinking something that's hard to think positive on and peaceful on and all that, man, I just never thought this is where God would put me. But the reality is this is where he's called me. And I remember when I first came into ministry, I was a campus pastor at High Rock. Some of you remember that when High Rock was here. And so I was a campus pastor and it was the very first one. And we were going to do video sermons, right? So we were going to videotape our main campus and then just show the message at the campus we were at. So really all I had to do was stand up and tell everybody, you know, I'm glad you're here and all of that. And then, you know, we press play, the message goes, and then after that I get up and kind of do a little, you know, invitation and all that, and man, I'm good, right? That's pretty easy. You know, no prep time, no nothing else. Well, we realized that DVD players break. And DVD players sometimes don't line up the words with the video, and so, you know, the sermon looked like something out of a Chinese, you know, karate movie, you know, because the words weren't matching up with the lips, and it was just crazy. And so we realized pretty fast that that wasn't going to work, and that the only way for that to succeed was for me to begin to preach. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. This ain't what I signed up for. You know, no, never done it, no experience, no nothing. And quite honestly, I ran from it for a couple of months until finally one day the DVD player just stopped and just halfway into the message, and I had to stand up and finish the message. And we knew then, I knew God was what he was calling me into. And so from that, we began that process then of me learning how to put a message together and stand up and speak to, you know, however many people and be able to do that on a weekly basis. And it's been difficult. You know, I still got a lot of room to improve, but I can tell you, I was skimming through some pictures on my computer the other day, and I found one of the very first messages that I preached, and I looked like a scared dog, man. I ain't gonna lie, my eyes were like this big, and you know what? I sweat just as much then as I do now, so don't think that I'm nervous or whatever. It's just me. But the reality is though God took that guy that didn't want to do what he wanted him to do. And because I didn't keep I had to learn that if I kept thinking the way I had been thinking, I'd never be able to do what God wanted me to do. And so finally, I had to start thinking differently. And I had people speaking into me differently to help me and encourage me. And so I just kept going and kept listening to the true and the positive and all that God wanted for me rather than the negative of it. And, you know, and it's still difficult. It's still kind of nerve-wracking sometimes. But the reality is I think about all the people that have accepted Christ over the last 10 years because I changed the way that I thought. And I didn't listen to the negative anymore. And so I can only think about what God could do in your life if you could change the way that you think. And begin to be positive and to be peaceful and to be eternal rather than just here and now. That it's just about what you got going on. Man, it doesn't take long to begin a conversation with somebody and you'll realize what they think most of the time. It won't take long for them to be negative. It won't take long for them to tell you what they're worried about. And it won't take long for them to talk about the worldly stuff. And just think about what it would be like if we all began to talk more about the eternal rather than the worldly. I mean, in the church, shouldn't we be focused more on not only our growth spiritually, that we're finding ourselves where we're supposed to be, but also the spiritual health of our community? I mean, just when was the last time you thought about coming up to Ron, Pastor Ron, saying, hey, Ron, you know, I'd love to go out with you and share Christ with somebody in our community this week. You know when the last time that happened? I'll just be honest, I can't remember. What if we thought that way, though? What if I had like 10 people come up to me this week and say, hey, Ron, I'd really love to go out with you this week and tell people about Jesus. Man, I'll find time. I'll find time to do it with you. And we'll just all go out one big group or something. I don't know. We'll, you know, whatever. But if we're thinking worldly, we probably won't think that. But if we begin to think eternal, we'll begin to think that. And that, listen, that won't be for everybody. Everybody's not going to be gifted to do that. It's not the way you're supposed to do it. But what about if we just thought about, you know what? What if I just go to work and I don't cuss like I always cuss and let people see a difference in me? What if I just go and I think a little bit different about my job and I think about, you know, man, God, I'm so glad that you gave me this job. So I'm going to work hard today. I'm not going to worry about the negative. I'm not going to listen. And I just do that. What if I go to school and say, you know what? I'm not going to get stuck in the drama of today. I'm just going to focus on what I'm supposed to learn today and not about who's talking about me or not talking about me. I'm just going to focus on what God wants me to learn and how he wants me to impact somebody else's life. Y'all don't need to get that, but somebody did. So, but the reality is, what if that is our thoughts? We need to fix our thoughts on spiritual things. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be what God really created you to be. And I know what you're saying, like, Ron, I appreciate your message about preaching and all that, but see, you're the preacher. And that's supposed to happen to you. You're supposed to glow in the dark, Ron. It's okay. You're supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be weird and stuff. Listen, I hope I might be weird in a lot of ways. I hope that's not one way I'm weird, right? I mean, I think I'm a pretty cool dude. You know, it's kind of fun to hang out with me sometimes, you know. But don't you look at me that way, girl. I know where you live. But the reality is that it's for everybody. It is for all of us. The scriptures are true. See, and you're like, well, how do I find it? Well, listen, you will always find what you're looking for. If you're looking for negative, you will always find negative. If you're looking for positive, guess what you'll find? Positive. You don't believe me? Check this out. What is that? A buzzard. What is a buzzard? You see them up there, and they look really graceful, don't they? They look beautiful up in the sky, and they catch those drafts, and they do all that, but what are they doing the whole time? They're doing this real graceful flying up in the sky. They're looking for something dead, right? And that's what they're going to find. A buzzard's always looking for something dead, and it's going to always find something dead. They're always going to find, I don't know how they do it. You're riding down the street, and there's this little bitty squirrel that's just flatter than can be, and he almost looks like the pavement, and they're over there picking on him, like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, how in the world did they see that from way up there? But a buzzard will always find something dead because that's what it's looking for. But now think about this. What is this? It's a hummingbird, right? Well, what does a hummingbird fly around looking for? Nectar, right? And what does a hummingbird always find? Nectar, right? Isn't that so much more of a pretty picture than the other? You know, I asked them, I said, is that kind of gross? And they were like, yeah. You know, I said, well, and they said, well, it depends on what kind of point you're trying to make. And I said, here's what my point is, and said, yeah, that'll make it. So here's the thing. So you got the gross picture, and now you got the beautiful picture. If you're a buzzard flying around looking for dead stuff, you'll always find dead stuff. But if you're a hummingbird and you're flying around looking for sweet stuff, you'll always find sweet stuff. You got to choose, are you a buzzard or are you a hummingbird? You know, somebody needs to tweet that really fast before it gets all messed up. Because that's a good one today. That's a good stuff. Are you a buzzard or are you a hummingbird? But we laugh. But we know that a lot of us, we're sitting up in the tree waiting for something to drop and start stinking. That's what we're waiting on. But what if we were that little hummingbird that just flits around, you know, right? Yeah, see, I know. It was coming. I was holding on. So y'all will never forget this message as long as you live, right? See, y'all were all worried about that spiritual warfare thing, and now I done brought this to you, and you're good, right? So here's the thing. We need to understand, what are we looking for? If we want to think positive, listen, let's start looking for positive stuff. Don't come in and think about, you know, I really don't like the paint on the walls of that church. You know what? Who cares what color the paint on the walls is or the carpet is? You know, this is still part of a basketball court. Who cares? If you got money, I'd love to do something different, but the reality is we're going to keep that till we can do something else. Because I don't care about the carpet. I don't care about it. I do care if people in this community die and go to hell without us ever telling them about Jesus. And if we don't get serious about that, listen, there are more and more going to happen. We need to be ready to tell them. I can't do it by myself. Gabe can't do it by himself. Eddie can't do it by himself. It takes all of us because we're the church. I'm not the church. The building's not the church. You and me, we get together. We're the church. And so we got to find the positive things. Begin to look for things that happen positively. And so what I want you to do, last week we talked about our one thought or our one word. Today I want us to focus in on our one thought. What are you going to have to think? What is it God wants you to think to be able to be what he wants you to be? What's the place that he wants to take you in your thoughts? I told you last week and earlier that my word is lead. That he said, hey, you need to lead. And so the scripture he gave me was Romans 12, 9 through 13. And out of that, here's what it says. Here's where my thought came to. That if I'm going to lead, like he wants me to, I got to really love people. I got to really hate what's wrong. I got to be patient. I got to be prayerful. I got to always be hospitable. If I'm going to lead the way that God wants me to lead, those are the places, that's the thought I got to have. I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to be prayerful too. That'll be all right. But I got to be prayerful, and I got to be hospitable always. Listen, sometimes that's hard. I mean, I've been working on it all week, and like it's hard sometimes to be hospitable. It's hard to be hospitable when people are not hospitable back, right? When they're not nice to you, it's hard to be nice to them. But you know what? I keep thinking, man, it was really hard for Jesus to go up and let himself be nailed to a cross to pay for my sins. That was really hard. So if he can do that for me, you know what? I can be nice to somebody. We got to think about it in the right perspective. Maybe your word is selfless. Maybe that's where you're at. You need to be less selfish and be more selfless. And so maybe there needs to be less of you and more of him. Maybe that's your thought. Maybe it's to be more generous. Because you really believe that it's more generous to give than to receive. Maybe that's your thought. What is it that you've got to think to be what God wants you to be? Maybe you got a bad marriage. Maybe that's where you're focused in. And it's really difficult to love your husband. You know what? Then maybe your thought needs to be, I need to love him with the love of Christ and serve him with the love of Christ. Maybe it's that you're having a hard time loving your wife. Then love her like Christ loved the church. That he gave himself for her. Let that be the thought that you have, and let that begin to think how everything flows through you so that you're able to then experience all that he has for you. Listen, there is a hope that you and I can't even imagine that's there for us. That hope came at an incredible price. Jesus gave his life on a cross so that you and I could have the hope of forgiveness of our sins, and then he was raised on the third day so that we could have the hope of eternity. It cost him everything. And so we have the opportunity to experience it, and it begins out of just where we begin to think. If we want to change our lives, we've got to change the way that we think. We've got to see things differently. Because remember, our lives, they go in the direction of our strongest thoughts. We need to be able to think that way. There are weapons that are formed against us, right? But the cool thing is that our weapons, they're formed with a power that's able to destroy strongholds. You need to understand it and believe it and claim it. Begin to think that way. Take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Don't let yourself be told that you're not worth anything, because Jesus has already proved that you're worth his own life. Don't let yourself get caught up in believing the lies that the world will tell you, that you got to have stuff, that you got to have everything else. Listen, stuff is cool, and I think you should have as much stuff as you need to have. But when our stuff becomes bigger than our God in our heads, because it never will be in reality, but it does in our heads, when it becomes bigger than God in our lives, then that's where we got a problem. So you can have stuff, but you just got to keep the perspective. We need to fix our thoughts on what is true and what is pure and what is right, what is noble. And then we begin to experience all that God has for us. Because when our thoughts become what God wants them to be, then our words become what God wants them to be, then our actions become what they're supposed to be, and our habits become what they're supposed to be, and then guess what? We become what we're supposed to be. It's a big deal what you think. And the next time a negative thought comes into your head, you need to understand that you have the choice to claim it and let it just squeeze the life out of you, or you can take it captive and you can put it away and you can know that you are so much better than whatever Satan wants to tell you you're worth. So today, where are you at? Are you the buzzard or are you the hummingbird? Are you letting your thoughts captivate you, or are you taking them captive? God, we pray today that in these moments, God, that you speak clearly to us. God, I pray in these moments that as we think about where we are, God, it's so easy to have thoughts of that are negative. It's so easy to think as the world thinks. God, we're bombarded with that. But God, you clearly make it known to us that we need to think and to have the thoughts that you want for us, God, that we need to think positive, and we need to think peaceful, and we need to think eternal in order to be all that you want us to be. And so, God, for those in this room that are captive to their thoughts, God, those who are captive to addiction, God, I pray right now that you'll begin an incredible move in their thought life to let them know that they are more valuable than that. That God, that you have made weapons, that you have made your word stronger, that God, that we can claim it and we can understand it and we can live by it and know that we can be free from anything that this world may throw at us and try to give us. God, sometimes in churches, I believe that we are so afraid of being the positive thinker type mentality and the positive thinking religion that we shy away. But God, I know that your word teaches very clearly that we must allow you to have control of our thoughts. That God, that we must think on the things that you want us to think on, that we must be focused in on that. And so God, in these moments, I ask that the most positive thing that we think about is the fact that your son Jesus gave his life on a cross to pay the price for our sins that we all have. And he gave his life on that cross so that our penalty may be paid and we would have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins by simply claiming it and believing it. And God, by you allowing him to be buried and being raised again on the third day, God, you not only give us forgiveness of our sins, but you offer us eternal life. And so, God, today I pray that there would be people in this room who have held on to the negative, that they are no good, that they are nothing but a mess up, that today, God, they would be free knowing that they can be a child of yours, a forgiven child of yours. And that, God, they can be set free from the traps and from the prisons of sin. God, in this place, I pray that there are those who have believed it in the past and trusted you for their salvation and their freedom from sin. But God, today they find themselves living more in the worried, more in the negative, and more in the worldly. And so God, I pray today that they would confess that and they would ask forgiveness of it and begin to live in that positive and that peaceful and that eternal. God, may you take us and may you drive us. Drive us to want to see people experience freedom in their life. The freedom that only salvation can bring. And so God, I pray that you would do a mighty work in this place, in our lives. And may we follow you and may we trust you to be to be all of our thoughts. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.